This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, a few tweets here, Slee. This is from Duvel Jameson, who is a regular contributor in the Trav and Slee community. It says, Trav, I like the fact that you and I have a lot of the same sports memories and they affect us in the same way. What I don't like is the fact that those same memories for you are from junior high and mine are from when I was in the Navy. You make me feel old AF. Look, I'm sorry, Duvel, that you're low, but I'm glad to hear that there's somebody that feels like that, because I'm that guy in this room, what, 9 out of 10 times, right? I'm the one that, well, actually, I can remember the 1977 World Series, and you guys look at me like I got frogs on my face. Like, I'm with you, Duvel. I'm glad that you're the old guy in the room. This is from Dude Here Comes a Reg, says, thank you. I hate how people act like there's some special nobility in losing before the finals and discount getting there. Tim in the OC, Trav is right on with MJ. The reason that people pretend the previous Jordan playoff run didn't happen before 91, because people put Jordan with a godlike aura around him, and if you point out a negative part of MJ, you get labeled a hater. Michael Jordan is the greatest player I've ever seen. That's not my point. It's not Michael Jordan isn't great. It just drives me bonkers how the 6-0 is thrown out there like it's an unassailable trump card. Well, he went 6-0. Oh yeah, I know, and that's awesome and it's amazing, but I don't know if that's better than going 9 times in 10 years and winning 5 of them. I don't think that it is. I don't know why, well, you lost to the Boston Celtics in the second round is forgotten, where Magic losing in game 7 to the Celtics is like, oh, you didn't win that one. Why is that? Why is the second round better than the final? It's not. It bothers me a great deal.
I haven't spent much time on. Listen, I'll explain this about Jordan, and I'm with you. For me, Bron is up there too. I mean, what Bron does and how he does it is,
of course, he is.
It's special kind of watching it. The Jordan 6-0 thing, you're not wrong of what you said, but it is promoted as obviously the sexiest thing out there. It's this, it's that. One thing to just remember about Magic Johnson, and I'm going to use Magic as my example here because you said it. What dude do you know who's a rookie in the league? It's the equivalent in Luka in his first year going to the NBA Finals and go take a center that gets injured and decides to suit up at center in game 6 on the road and win an NBA Finals in his first year. That might be the most baller thing of any sport in your first year. After that, it's basically a battle. You're going up against arguably the best era of basketball. You're getting to the NBA Finals. You're going to win each one of them. And they didn't. Now he took 2 or 3 from the Boston Celtics. It's an interesting argument. It's interesting.
It's an easy one for me. It really is. I don't understand.
So you'd rather have 5-4 than 6-0?
Yes. 100% yes. I would rather go to the finals 9 times and win 5 of them than go 6 times and win them all and just pretend like the other ones never happened. Yes.
I think it's
harder to do. They went 9 times. Michael Jordan went 6 times. Mm-hmm. I know he didn't lose, but that means that Michael Jordan didn't play 6 seasons in the NBA. He played a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Magic Johnson's, all things being equal, his career was relatively short, right? He did not have the 20 years that LeBron James had. I don't know what Michael finished with, probably 16 or 17. That Kobe and all these, and it's not that those guys aren't great, but Magic's career in a 10-year window, not doing, unless you're Bill Russell, you're not doing more than that. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, he went his first 6 years in the NBA, Jordan did not go to the finals.
All right, I got one more tweet. This is from Ricardo Granados,
5 years.
Who says, Trav, Slee, are we just going to gloss over Taylor saying I got more on that when it comes to creepy vampire girl? We are all invested in this. So you said you had more on that. What about that? This is the woman that you've seen at least a few times who was kind of into shall we say, unusual things like surgery books from
but
the
you
1600s.
Were into it. You were good
yeah,
with it.
I was.
Yeah, you were good with
she
it.
She kind of fell off the map for a second there.
Okay. But, she ghosted you?
I know why.
She didn't ghost me.
He asked her about the whole finals thing.
No, it's not that. So she actually asked to meet up at the LA Athletic Club over here. So she lives downtown, mm-hmm. and she has a membership there. So I met her over there, and she's just been So I knew this, but she was, when I met her, she had just broken up with somebody.
Okay.
So
you're the rebound guy?
She's still living with him.
Mm.
And
yeah, it's not complicated at all.
Yeah.
That usually works out well.
You guys should have met at her place.
That was actually my last factor cap. I was going to ask if dating right after a breakup is a good idea.
Fact. I mean, if you're looking for your wife or your husband, probably not. But if you're looking to spend time with somebody you like, sure. What's the downside?
Yeah, I'm fact with that too. But the whole living thing—that's a different
next
element.
Next month he's moving out.
Next month, huh?
Yeah.
She just can't be. You can't be hung up on the other person. Next month, yeah. You know what?
You know what?
Happening.
You know what?
It's gonna get pushed off another month.
She
and
should
then
pull
month.
A Tiger Woods on him and just say, "Hey, we're going on a vacation. Pack a bag, and when he leaves, lock the door." How weird is that story? Have you guys?
No, tell me that story.
So Erica Herman, Tiger Woods' girlfriend for like the last 10 years, right? They lived together a long time. Like she would show up at events and everything. They were together for a really long time. She's suing him or suing to get the non-disclosure agreement that she signed when she entered the relationship with him kind of thrown out because she's claiming that Team Tiger basically told her, "We're going on a short vacation. Meet us at the airport. Pack a bag." And when she did, they basically said, "Okay, we're broken up. You don't live here anymore. Bye." It's
wow.
Yeah, it's complicated. It's
that's why she wants the NDA off.
Well, she.
I think there's more to the story.
Nobody's quite sure why this girl the link. The NDA
to this story.
Thing is because when you have an NDA, you can't really say why or what. But she said there's this. It's weird. But everybody does agree that she used to live there and now she doesn't, and that they basically she's claiming that she was kicked out of the house by trickery.
Mm.
So Taylor, go ahead and forward her that story, and she can
start
lock
tricking.
The doors when she goes on a vacation.
Start tricking.
Tiger probably doesn't need this in his life right now.
That's an interesting. And Taylor,
curveball.
As long as
that's an interesting curveball there.
As long as this woman's still not hung up on the ex, and the ex is moving out, like it's fine. Have fun.
I'm gonna go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Have you? So are you gonna wait till the dude's out before you see her again, or
I might wait a month? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait like 35 days. Give it a couple extra days after just in case it's got to come back and grab a couple things.
Does she not want to see you until he's out?
No, it's not like that. But she was, I don't know. She just gave me the, I don't know if she wanted to.
You wanted to wait until it was all settled.
Let her get through her feelings, you know. Yeah. You know.
Send her a bouquet of black roses and say, "I look forward to seeing you."
Bar flowers.
God bless.
Dead black roses. She'd be super in. I feel like this is something she'd appreciate, right?
Trev, you're a genius.
She might laugh at it.
So she reads.
Laugh at it? Have you not listened to what she's into?
Is this real? Is the surgery books from 1600s like a real thing that she's reading?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does she want to try the methods on you?
Greg, she has eclectic taste, okay?
That's fine. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just like, does she want to try these methods like, you know, that's kind of the thing she likes to do for you?
I guess we're going
to
find out.
Yeah, she says alternative taste.
Yes.
Yes. Eclectic, alternative. Alt girl. That I couldn't pull the name. That's what we were talking about.
I like this. We just got sprinkled in. We haven't heard about her in a while.
Yeah.
So that's a perfect little update. Whenever she's you're bad. Ready, we'll take another update.
Yeah, we're going to have, you know, the rules. You got
to
ask.
You have to ask.
You got
to
ask. Had I not brought it up in Factor Cap, we don't know about this, right?
Would have slept through it.
See, mm-hmm. There you go. Got it. Every morning we should sit down, you and me, Al, and come up. What do we want to ask him today? Because they're almost always there's something there.
We could sit.
I'll give you an honest answer every time. You know?
We could sit in one of the offices too, where it's a little bit more intimate. We close the door, get him a tea.
I like it. D'Angelo Russell tonight is going to play. Lakers play the Raptors and Lakers. I think have if not identical records, they're a half game apart. They're both in ninth place.
Yep.
They're both fighting for play in position. The Raptors, up until the losing the last two, were actually playing pretty good basketball. The Lakers are playing very mm-hmm. good basketball. It's an interesting litmus test for where the Lakers are right now. They've been playing so many other mediocre Western Conference teams for the last time. They're going to the other half of the draw. They get Toronto night. They get D'Angelo back.
All right, I'm a NBA. Love the NBA. Okay, this is not an easy game tonight. Believe it or not, I have watched Toronto Raptors basketball. on a Saturday against the Wizards if I have to. I have seen them play. They lost two in a row. You mentioned that, T-Raj. They lost at Denver, lost in the last second. They lost at the Clippers, close game as well. So even those two losses that they had are against two really quality teams in the West. It's a tough one tonight against the Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
But something I'm going to bring up that you just said, D'Angelo's coming back.
Yeah.
Before D'Angelo Russell was traded to the Los Angeles Lakers, I didn't care about D'Angelo Russell. I didn't watch D'Angelo Russell since the last time he was with the Lake Show. And when they traded for him, I kind of had a little hesitation of like, yeah, I don't know. This guy just doesn't really do it for me. I just don't really watch D'Angelo. I didn't care when he was in Brooklyn. I didn't care he was in Golden State. I didn't care that the Lakers had kind of separated from him. And then he started playing with the Lakers. I get a chance to listen to him a little bit. And it's like, all right, well, he's 26 now, 27 years old. It's not the same player that he was. And he has a skill set that can actually help the Los Angeles Lakers. Am I crazy to say this? You know how cool that would be if D'Lo comes back? And listen to the moment D'Angelo Russell's coming back to the Lakers. Bron could be out the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a natural point guard that's in there that can give you 20 and 8 or whatever the case is. D'Lo's coming to a team that there's some there's real excitement around the Lakers. We can make fun of it and say, you're excited to be in ninth? Yes, I am excited to be in ninth because I haven't been in ninth the whole time. All right? That last game, wasn't it, John, and I know this part of this had something to do with the Pau Gasol portion of it, but John was saying that was one of the more exciting games that he's been to, the last one. Part of it was because it was Pau, and the other part of it was because the Lakers were playing a good game or getting a good win or whatever the case is. Kind of a cool moment for D'Angelo. D'Angelo could be part of really helping the Lakers maybe get to that sixth spot or that seventh spot. D'Lo, I think, is walking into a situation where he can almost look like we're making a big deal about D'Lo coming back. If he is a big deal the rest of the way, he could kind of change a little bit of that perception of whatever your picture is of D'Lo. Mine wasn't the greatest, and here he is coming back with the Lakers, has a chance to have a big impact.
Yeah, I don't really have one other than I know he's a better than average NBA player, maybe not a great NBA player, but better than average. I know that the Lakers can use somebody that can put the ball in the basket, right? That even as good as Anthony Davis has been over the last couple of weeks.
One guy can't do it.
Most of the games they've played have been really close, right? Mm-hmm. And that's with Anthony Davis playing at an A-plus level. They could use a second guy who can get buckets. He can do that. So I think that's what's interesting. The Lakers are day-to-day. They're day-to-day in where they are in the standings. They're day-to-day on how we feel about it. They're day-to-day on a health perspective. They have a good weekend. We could come back on Monday morning,
yep,
and the Lakers could be above the other line. We could come back on Monday morning. They could be in 13th place. Like it is such a weird position that they're in. But like you said, for the first time all season, feel pretty good about it, that their second-best player in Anthony Davis is playing out of his mind. Their supporting cast is NBA caliber good. It wasn't before. They have a guy coming back in D'Angelo Russell who's better than your average NBA player.
Not a superstar, not a role player.
Nope. That he's
right in the middle.
They're, for lack of a better word, they're kind of hot. Mm-hmm. Stuff's kind of breaking their way. They're above the line for the first time. That if you were making a pros and cons right now, there's a lot more pros than cons on the Lakers. That hasn't been true for a long time.
On top of that, I think what it will do is D'Lo to start, Dennis Schroeder comes off the bench. Like it kind of makes it just. We had a quick moment when Bron was there. They're playing Dallas. I know it wasn't a perfect game. They came back. But everybody felt like they had their own spot in their position. Nothing felt forced. I think Dennis Schroeder going back to the bench will help the bench. I think D'Lo being in the starting lineup with Anthony, that's the proper starting line. I think that feeling of, you know, sometimes you've watched Lakers basketball and the gears are just grinding and you're like, what the heck is going on here? It's becoming a little smoother.
Yeah.
And it's becoming a little bit less. It's more watchable. It's more, it feels like the pieces fit.
Is that not just because it's just a lot better? Is it that simple?
But does it feel like there's puzzle pieces that are fitting that maybe
For sure.
Three
but even if
not.
The puzzle pieces fit better and they were still losing more than they were winning it, I don't know how much fun it would be.
Are you starting D'Lo today?
Yeah,
they said he's in the starting lineup.
They said he's in the starting lineup.
Yeah, Schroeder to the
basically
the
good. Han basically said D'Lo's in the starting lineup. Dennis Schroeder is the way games will be closed will be based upon how guys are playing. So Dennis Schroeder could easily close out a game if he's having a good game.
I mean, that's the right way to do it, right? I mean, if LeBron James, Anthony Davis are going to be on the court, and the other three spots go to whoever's playing well that night.
So most teams, that's not the case. For the Lakers, that is the case.
But again, other, like, for instance, let's just pick the Warriors.
Pick Denver.
Denver's going to have Jokic. They're going to have Murray. They're going to have KCP,
and Aaron Gordon.
But those are their best guys.
Yeah.
That's the point. The Lakers, they don't have the next three best guys. They have those three guys are different based on any given night.
So to answer your question, that's exactly how it should be for the Lakers.
I think
if Reeves is playing good, Reeves should be in there.
Play your five best guys if you have them. And if you don't, play the five best guys that night.
That are performing that night.
Right. Yeah. That seems to make some sense to me. I'm going to try to sell you more, Berg, on the WBC, which the Americans play tomorrow. I'm going
to
give you 1 cent, and I think I'm going to turn you around. It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We could really use that rain.
You know what? Yeah. I haven't,
we just really can.
Really wanted that to become part of my deal, and it hasn't taken hold. I think it has to happen naturally, because I guarantee you, if I called my dad today and we're just chatting about whatever, at some point he would say, nice to get some of this rain. We sure could use it.
I'm going to beat my mom to it.
The plants really need it.
I'm going to beat my mom
to it.
You know, I walked outside. It was raining, and I just stopped there while it was pouring and said, we could really use that rain.
You know, I'm over it. I'm kind of done with it.
It can go away now.
It can go away now. I've had enough.
I absolutely love it.
The rain?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't mind it at all.
It's like 11 days a year.
It's fine.
I don't know why. That's the funny thing about what we were going through, and I know we are complaining, soft, all that stuff. I'm not saying that I'm not soft when it comes to weather, but I enjoy this weather. But when people complain about it here in SoCal, in my head, I'm like, guys, literally in 2 weeks, we're going to have sunshine for the next 7 months. We'll be fine.
No, it's fine. Like, and I like it for the most part, but now it's been too much. Like, we've gotten too much rain for me at this point. Like, I'm ready for it to go away.
Sunshine 2 weeks ago.
Tell that to the drought.
We might be done. We might look. You guys know that climate is a preoccupation of mine, right? You guys, I've made that, I think, pretty clear that there's a lot of things that are going to get us. That's at the top of the list.
Yes, science.
Okay, feeling cautiously optimistic.
All better.
Not that the world's not going to just blow up, but at least it's not the drought part of the climate, at least for a while, is pretty good. There's like 9,000 feet of snow in the Sierras. That seems good. I don't know. I'll have to pay a little more attention. Clayton Kershaw made his spring training debut right now for the Dodgers. Gave up a couple of runs to the Angels in the top of the first inning. Gave up a home run to Taylor Ward.
Yes, Taylor Ward hit a home run to lead off.
And then they nickeled and dimed him for another run. A bunch of ground balls that kind of found some holes.
He did give up two long shots that were just at the end of the wall.
Is there anything you worry about less than Clayton Kershaw in spring training?
Zero. There's nothing about this that means anything to me.
That he's out there pitching is all I care about. That means he's healthy. That means that he's getting ready for the season. I look forward to watching him pitch in April, half of May.
Never in June.
July, maybe one start in August, and then September and whatever comes after that. That's the Clayton Kershaw schedule.
And fine.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, right? I really should.
And it's funny because the World Baseball Classic, he wanted to be a part of it. And there is a they couldn't clear an insurance hurdle where if something happened, then he would still get paid. I don't know all the details, but it was an insurance hurdle. And I'm sure, and I was saying this to myself, I'm sure plenty of Dodger fans are like, yes, yeah, sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
Clayton Kershaw is not 25 years old. I think the big picture of how that's still a critical piece, very critical piece for the Los Angeles Dodgers, that just having him healthy and ready by the time the season starts, I don't think anybody was sweating him not playing in the WBC.
I'm not so sure.
I respect that he wanted to be in it.
Sure.
I
prefer that he's not.
Yeah.
I think had he wanted to do it, okay. Look, I think he's the second most important pitcher on the Dodger roster this year. I think Julio's number one. Julio's got to carry the water. You know, Julio's got to make 25 or 30 starts. That needs to happen. If Kershaw makes 15, I think we're in a pretty good spot.
If you had your druthers, would you want Julio Urias still pitching in the WBC?
He's a young guy.
Yeah, it's more okay.
And he's been relatively healthy for the last few years. I don't mind him pitching.
Can I give you an example?
I'd rather none of them pitch. Out of the pitchers, I would prefer to
it's funny.
On WBC.
So if you look at these rosters, the infields are stacked. The outfields are stacked. The best catchers, the two Team USA catchers are Will Smith and JT Realmuto. They're the two best catchers in baseball. Mm. Like the pitching is the best pitcher on Team USA probably is Adam Wainwright. And the best pitcher in the tournament is Ohtani. Urias might be second. Mm. Sandy Alcantara is pitching as well.
Yep, he's pitching.
There's a handful, but the weak link in the WBC chain is that the pitchers are not there.
It's not the best comp, but I'm going to use Kershaw later in his career. Age is obviously the wear and tear. You want him just ready for the playoffs. That's really kind of that's the whole purpose of it. Braun playing in the All-Star game. Right, going around that timetable of where he was missing some games. He had just broken the record. You know the mileage that he's got on. You're getting ready for that final push. Yeah, Bron would have announced, guys, I'm not playing in the All-Star game. Would one Laker fan be like, well, that's BS. No, that sounds
There's
good,
not
Bron.
One basketball fan on earth that would have cared about it. It's funny. This All-Star game was odd. It was kind of like a tipping point where everybody involved, the players, the coaches, everybody's like, yeah, that wasn't great. That was not good. So we'll see what they come
Ratings,
up with next.
Too.
Yeah, it was
plummeted. Yeah,
it was a disaster.
But it should. It's not a good product.
It's not a good product.
It's okay.
Exactly
it's not a good
right.
product.
What's my one sentence that's going to flip me on the WBC?
Ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Shohei Ohtani against Team USA.
I mean, that would be interesting.
You think?
I would like to see.
Do it. Shohei Ohtani on the mound?
But that's one game.
But what if it's for the gold medal? I don't know if it's gold
okay.
Medal
sure,
first
I'll,
place.
Sure.
That's,
I'll watch.
Is that's it, what, awesome.
Do you get a trophy or a medal?
Something. Who cares? like honestly, it's not.
You get
whatever.
A participation.
You
award.
You won the thing,
right.
And arguably the best pitcher in the world just went through the best offensive lineup that any country could put together. That's awesome to watch.
Yeah,
I think that to see him pitch against Mike Trout would be interesting. To see him go up against these guys, this is not going to beat the Yankees, who are really good, or going to beat the Astros, who are really good. This is a lineup of nine other guys who are either the best player or damn near the best player on every team there are in the best league in the world. That's
so you're telling
awesome.
Me to stop. So don't watch the opening stages, what you're saying. Wait until it starts getting into the later rounds when the good teams are playing.
There are like four teams that have a chance to win this thing. Which
yeah, so watch them.
Which is a strike again. Wait till we get to the knockout round.
You don't need okay. to see Israel and Italy.
I think Israel not. Won. Didn't Israel just beat somebody?
Italy beat Cuba.
Okay, never mind.
I actually looked it up. Like
keep an eye out on Italy.
Italy beat Cuba.
Goes my scouting report.
It's a pretty cool trophy, and the winner gets $1 million, too.
The money part of all, like,
do they care about the $1 million?
Some of those guys. There might be some players in there.
Yeah. Look, but again, you're talking about stars in this league. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. If you're Ryan Pepio pitching on this team, $1 million is life-changing.
Absolutely.
Right? If you're Mookie Betts and you make $35 million, I mean, what is it? A couple of nice cars.
So Israel beat Washington Nationals 9-0. You see, they beat the Washington. Is that how bad the Washington
okay,
Nationals?
Okay, wait, wait.
Or is that
let me
training?
Say this as part of the pitch here. Your pitch, interesting, but it's 100% going to have to line up like you just said.
Look,
these two countries are playing against each other. You should watch this game. I'm in. I'm not going to be watching
the Americans.
Yeah,
the Dominicans,
mm-hmm.
the Venezuelans.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Puerto
Mexico,
Rico,
Mexico,
maybe Mexico. They're
Canada.
No, it's the Americans. It's Venezuela. It's the Americans and the DR are the two heavy. And Japan. That's
Japan.
The
yeah, but Japan.
So if those aren't in the final four, then it's not worth it to watch.
If three of the four, well, no. If you get a couple of them and they're on opposite, if the DR is on one side and the Americans are on the other, or the DR in Japan, yeah, I think it works.
What if they get knocked out? What if all four of those get knocked out?
Then you can start watching NBA playoff basketball or whatever's going on at the
Your
time.
Honor, season two.
Your Honor,
if season Israel two. Goes all the way, I'm in.
You see? There you go. You have another route.
Dark horse. Right.
You've got Israel. You've got the Americans. You can pick Team Mexico. There's two Dodgers on Team
Mexico.
Yeah. Right?
Mexico beat the Rockies 11-1 yesterday.
Good. By the way, speaking of the Dodgers,
yeah.
Have you looked at their schedule? You know what? It's the weirdest. You know how the schedule's like super weird this year, where you're not weird, but you're playing everybody, right?
Playing everybody 14 now, 14 matchups against each divisional team, right?
The Dodgers' first 10 games, 8 of them are against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and
of course they are.
2 against the Colorado Rockies. That's weird.
Why do I feel like
that's weird?
Why do I feel like the Dodgers play Arizona 38 times a year?
It does feel that. Well, you're gonna really feel like that after the first 10.
But once that's done, you're only going to face them a handful of times.
You get them 6 more times.
Earlier in the week, I think you had mentioned something. I don't know if we ever even got into it, but it was about how they play the Padres this year. Right? That it was.
It could be the difference between winning the division or not.
But I think you said they play them early on.
No, and then, they really don't.
But a very small chunk early on, but most of it is backloaded.
They play them
right?
in May, they uh-huh. play them in August, and they play them in September.
Mm.
And I think they play them twice in May. Okay, so they don't play them at all until May. I think they have 2 series with them against May. They play in August, and I think they play them twice in September as well. So those games could be a little bit of a playoff.
That's interesting. Yeah.
It's actually, I don't know if they just got lucky. Like, get the Rockies and the Diamondbacks, put a bunch of wins on the board, get off to a good start. But you know that when it comes down to it, those games, whoever wins those games, they're going to beat most other teams. I don't know how often they're going to beat each other. If it goes the way that we hope, it's going to be pretty darn close.
Yeah, you're right. Twice in May.
Yeah.
Then you got a 4-game set in August.
Yeah. And then September.
And you got your set in September. And that's a wrap. That's it.
You know what it's going to come down? It's going to be health. It's mm-hmm. going to be that we got our guys, you don't, whatever it is, you know, one side or the other. Clayton Kershaw's in one of his hiatuses, whatever it may be. What's his face? Gonsolin's ankle is inflamed. Mm. By the way, I know everybody's saying that's no big deal. I think it's a big deal. I think it's a big deal. He was awesome for them last year. You're hoping he'll be at least good. Bad ankle as a pitcher is not nothing.
Well,
I do not like that.
And you've already kind of walked into the season. At least you've kind of cautioned me on this. I got to see it again, right? That's the player, Gonsolin, of all those players that we've talked about, he had such an amazing season last year.
That's not what he's going to give you season in, season out. Look, and this is not shade.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very good chance that Tony Gonsolin had the best year of his career last year, and you're never going to see it again. Doesn't mean he won't be good. But it doesn't mean he's going to do that. He was a Cy Young caliber guy last year. He's probably not a Cy Young caliber guy. If he is, never be happier to be wrong about that in my entire life. All right, Lakers, Kevin Durant.
16-1 last year.
Stupid.
He had a 2.14 ERA.
And by the way, I think he had one bad game. The whole it doesn't go like that. Clayton Kershaw doesn't do that. It's just it was a very, very good season. And if you said to me right now, Trav, you want 75% of that, you take it? Yes. Put it in the bank and run for the hills.
Every Dodger fan would.
Yeah. Right? 60? No. I could
roll the dice.
I'll roll the dice at 60%. Lakers back at it tonight. Kevin Durant may not be out for as long as we thought. What does it do to the West? It's coming up next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up!
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now!
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
People like Clayton Kershaw, Al. The Camelback Ranch where the Dodgers play. A lot of people for a
awesome.
Friday afternoon game that means nothing. Just saying, Clayton Kershaw's still popular. Breaking
the
news.
OG.
Breaking news. Kershaw is the guy. Here comes Miguel Vargas, who big day for him yesterday. You know what he did?
What?
He swung the bat.
Okay. First time all spring. Right? Hey.
He got the bat off of his shoulder. Now you actually have to pitch to him.
That'd
a little
be awesome.
Bit.
He's playing mind games with the pitcher. The pitcher knows it's time for him to swing the bat. He doesn't swing again.
So what's crazy
sits
about
on five in a row.
They walked him a bunch of times.
They walked him a bunch of times, yeah. Knowing that he couldn't swing the bat.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, at what point, if you get three balls on this guy, don't you just put it down the middle every single time?
Well, Trav, you had a good point. Yeah. Right? You were talking about how it's spring training is also for pitchers to work on stuff.
I get that.
It's the only time I've seen it happen, and I haven't watched every single one of his at-bats, but if I'm the pitcher and he comes up there, I'm just not going to throw batting practice down the middle to get him out. Yeah. I need to work on my stuff. Mm-hmm. I need to work on my sequencing.
Everything.
All of it. But the other day when they were playing the Padres, they were hitting this guy around. Vargas came up, and the guy just threw three center-cut fastballs in a row. He just needed an out.
I think it was Nick Martinez.
I just need to get the hell out of there. Mm-hmm. I can respect that. I can respect it. They're playing the Angels right now. I know we spent a ton of time talking about Otani and a little less time talking about Trout. The Angels are in such a weird spot. They're in such – because, look, there's not a 0% chance that they're pretty good. I don't think they're going to be great, but you could get to July 4th, right, all-star break time, and they're very much in it.
Very much in it, meaning they're 500 or
even better
10
than
games
that.
Above 500.
What I mean by that, Al, is they could be
they're in the playoff picture.
Near the top of their division and comfortably in the playoff picture. Okay. It's not totally out of the question. Mm-hmm. Here's where it gets super complicated. What if let's say they are in first place? Them and the Astros are basically neck and neck. Trade deadline's coming up. Mm-hmm. They're very likely to make the playoffs, but they're not an overwhelming favorite to win the World Series
sure.
or anything.
You're getting in and seeing what happens.
And you know that clock is ticking yeah. so loudly for Otani. Mm-hmm. Could you really tell your fans, look, we had to trade him because he's leaving, even though you're actually in it for the first time in a million years? Or do you have to say, you know what, we got to take a shot and we're probably going to lose him and get nothing in return? That is a terrible choice to have to make. And it's not like it's impossible to happen.
Well, the unfortunate part is it's almost like the worst predicament to be in, where you're just good enough to where you're telling yourself all he wants to do is make the playoffs, and we have potentially a chance to make the playoffs with him. But at the same time, we also don't have confidence that – just remember when there was a quick second there where they're thinking about ownership change could be coming? Mm-hmm. It's not like ownership change came, and then there was a little bit of momentum, and then there was Shohei saying something to the effect of, yeah, I really like where this ownership's going. There's none of that.
None.
They could be in a very interesting spot.
Let me paint this picture for you. Okay. Let's say they're in first place. Let's say they're good. Mm-hmm. Okay. They look really good. Shohei Ohtani does not strike me as a dummy. Okay, he strikes me as a pretty sharp guy. Strikes me as a pretty competitive guy. Like you just said a second ago, the ownership group is the same. Artie Moreno still owns this team, and he's not going to sell them. Mm-hmm. Bad owners occasionally will put together a good team. Doesn't make them good owners, doesn't make the organization break. It just means that the pieces broke the right way for the right time. I think the Angels could be comfortably in first place, going to the playoffs, division leaders, maybe even one of the top two seeds in the American League. And Ohtani's like, look, I'm happy to go play in the playoffs with you guys, but I'm leaving. Now what do you do? Mm-hmm. Now you're already an unpopular owner. Mm-hmm. You're going to trade that guy? You're gonna have him play in the playoffs too? Because as we saw with the Dodgers, anything could happen to any of these teams. They could have four playoff games and
super fun season.
Mm-hmm. And they're down too, and now Ohtani's in pinstripes or Dodger blue. And now what do you have? It's a really tricky, because the Moreno piece that you're talking about, he's still there. He did not change his stripes. He did not all of a sudden become an owner that's on top of it He's still Artie Moreno. He's still going to do the things that he's done in
even
his 20 years owning this
even
team.
Worse, because he was went through a stage where I'm selling the team and then had to come out and say, I'm not selling the team, which Angel fans, I'm sure, had some hope and then some incredible disappointment, rather than if he was just there the whole time and said nothing, that just disappointment was always there.
You almost have, and again, this is where it gets tricky. You have to have enough of a relationship with Ohtani or Ohtani's representation.
Yeah.
To, in the scenario that we've painted, to go to him and say, listen, is there any chance he's coming back? Like, if we win the World Series, will he honestly consider us coming back? Because if the answer is, look, man, we appreciate everything, he's gone. He doesn't like it here. Then you have to trade him. You have to. Because if you lose that guy for nothing, you could rebuild your franchise with the haul of things you get from him. But if you don't have a relationship, if he feels at all like you've yanked his chain at all, hey, listen, we need to know. Is there a chance? And they go, look, man, we don't know. Now what do you do?
I'm curious here. How involved do you think the Dodgers would be? Because there's two ways you can get Ohtani. If Ohtani is leaving the Angels, let's just say they don't have a good season.
The Angels.
Angels.
Yeah.
And let's say they're 10 games below 500 by the time we hit May.
Yeah.
And the trade deadline's coming. And it's kind of known that, look, the Angels are shopping him now. Yep. This is just it's a ticking time bomb.
Which, by the way, real quickly, that's probably the most likely scenario.
Okay. So if you're the Dodgers, are you doing everything you can to get him at the trade deadline? Or are you doing everything you can to get him when he becomes a free agent? And the reason why I ask that question is because I think any team that trades for him, there's not a guarantee. I think he's going to hit the open market, unless maybe it's the Mets, maybe it's the Dodgers, maybe it's a franchise that he wants to be on.
Padres.
Maybe it's the San Diego Padres. But I'm curious if the Dodgers are, well, why are we going to trade for him at the deadline, go up against all these other, give up so much in the farm system when they feel like maybe they can get him in the offseason?
You have to try to get him at the deadline for two reasons. Number one, I think you'll have a very good idea if you have a chance to keep him long-term. If the Minnesota Twins traded for him,
you're basically just trading for the remainder of that season.
You're not keeping him. Sorry, Taylor. If the Dodgers, Mets, Padres, Giants, one of the Yankees, it's very likely that you're going to be able to convince him to stay. You got the pot, all of the things that you need to do it. The other part is, and let's say you're the Dodgers, like, listen, we don't want to empty our
farm
prospects.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to have to do that. We'll get him 3 months from now. We'll play this out and we'll do it then. What if he goes to the Padres and he's like, I love it here.
It's tricky business.
I had no idea this is what this place was. Peter Seidler's given me, in my wildest imagination, I couldn't imagine being in a better place than this. Like, sure, let's negotiate something today. Mm-hmm. You don't want to eliminate that possibility.
By the way, I'm with you on that. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, no, if you're the Dodgers and it's going to be so key to keeping your prospects and you're going to spend so much on Ohtani, how do you then... how then do you kind of round out the rest of your roster, everything else? I'm with you on if Cohen gets a hold of Ohtani and he's in New York at the trade deadline, I'm almost shocked if he ends up, I'd be much more shocked if he leaves the Mets by signing with another team than staying there. I'm with you that if you can get, that's probably the only chance some of these teams do have, like let's say a team like the San Diego Padres, the only chance you really have is, let him come here. Let us get him for 3-4 months. Let's get a World Series run in. And maybe with that, he can say...
You got one other shot. Mm-hmm. That's the best chance. The other shot is, I'll pay you 20% off your next highest offer. That's the other way. Mm-hmm. Is just flat out buy it. Okay, the Dodgers are offering you $48 million a year, 60.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Yeah. Where's the pen? In. Right? Because at that point, you're not asking him to do it with the Miami Marlins to where I'm going to go be on another bad team. I don't want to do that.
No.
The Padres have a shot. The Mets, the Dodgers. Like, we know the teams that have a shot, but you could just flat out buy it at some point if you're willing to do something crazy.
He's going to get everything he's looking for because I think the franchises that know to go after him are the ones that are also going to be competing, and the checkbook ain't going to be a problem.
What about this? What if he's not very good this year? Again, it's unlikely. Mm-hmm. But let's say he struggles a little bit on the mound and he's just kind of middling.
That he's not a once-in-a-generational player for half a season?
Exactly. Right. That instead of having 25 home runs at the break, he's got 11.
He's not competing with Aaron Judge and yes. Verlander yes. in two positions.
Yeah. Didn't you think he was just trying to screw over the Angels at that point if that happened?
No, because I think that it does bring in, not likely, but it does put that thing, hey, hold on a second. What's
Should
going
we spend
on here?
X amount,
Can yeah. I pay him $50 million a year? Again, if he's Verlander and Judge, yes.
Yeah.
I can. Mm-hmm. If he's
Cronenworth and.
And Cronenworth and Tony Gonsolin, I mean, it's cool. But I don't, $50 million? I don't know.
Those were great players for us to right? throw in there. That was like a perfect comp.
Cronenworth is good,
I know.
But he's not that.
50 a year.
Yeah.
Someone named Kevin Padlow just hit a home run off Clayton Kershaw.
That's who cares. Is Clayton Kershaw's arm still intact?
It is.
Great. Yeah. We're all good. It's a win for the Dodgers today. He walks off that field at the end of the day saying, is your arm hurt? No. Great. Win.
If I don't get a tweet from somebody saying Dave Roberts kept him in too long, I'm going to be so upset.
Oh, by the way.
Send me one.
Did you see where that ball landed? That ball landed in Tucson. That thing was destroyed.
It was blasted.
Yeah, maybe we don't give up 900-foot home runs. That doesn't feel great.
Well, you know the Angels better than anybody here, because I don't think anybody else knows the Angels. Who is Kevin Padlow?
Got me.
All right.
Yeah.
Never to see him again.
I am unfamiliar with Mr. Padlow.
He's from Murrieta.
Is he really? He's a local guy?
Yep.
All right. Vista Murrieta High School, home of Ryan O'Coin's children.
26 years old. Plays third and first.
Yeah. We'll see. The Angels have a history of guys that do really cool things right up until it matters. And then don't.
Batting .263 in spring training.
Not anymore. Not after that. .269. 269 along the way. The dump if Bergman did his job. Coming up next, it's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Trends come, trends go, but style, that lasts. And this season, Lee's bringing iconic styles to you in fits that add a little spring to your step. Denim for all the days, chore coats that are anything but, and Western shirts that snap on and take on, whatever you do. We're talking gotta haves for everyone serious about their trip. These are styles born to be reworn now and for years to come. Visit Lee.com, that's L-E-E.com to shop spring now.
Emily, hurry back because Bergman is not good at doing the dump segment. That Greg comes in, 10 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys have anything for the dump? Because I didn't
totally
do it.
Totally forgot to do it. No, I what are you talking about? I have it right in front of me.
Uh-huh.
I have
he said,
let's find
there's
out.
Stuff right here.
He said this. He said, screw the both of you. I have another show coming after you guys. I'm busy.
Slee.
Pretty
not,
much.
Not my problem.
What is it? How is it?
Whiff it. What's in it for Travis?
What's in it for Travis is because I'm just going to look up these random stories and you're just going to react to them however you feel is necessary. So Adam Thielen is no longer a Minnesota Viking after they just released him today after 10 seasons. Is this somebody, he's 32 years old, is this somebody that you think the Rams should go after?
I don't. I think that the Rams need to be really careful about buying guys that could be potentially expensive that are – I'd rather get a guy that's a little early than a little late. Thielen feels a little late. Mm. I know they're talking about Robert Woods and OBJ too. OBJ is a little bit different because if he's good, he's really
What's
special.
What's the price tag do you think going to be on some of these guys?
OBJ hasn't played in a year.
Yep.
Right? He's coming off an injury. He's not a young guy anymore, but if he's going to do a workout, I think it's today, as a matter of fact, for a bunch of teams. If he goes out there and looks amazing in the workout, he'll get paid.
Mm-hmm.
He'll get paid.
You interested in Thielen for anybody for the Raiders?
Because
you're a Raider fan still, or no? Are you someone else now?
I'm a anti-Charger
who
fan.
Who do the
heart.
Chargers open up with? Yeah. That's who he's a fan of.
That's who I'm the biggest fan of.
So, do you want him on every team that's playing the Chargers, or you just not really care about Adam?
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think game changer. I think kind of what Trav just said. There's certain guys that you just kind of know. Man, if they pick up that dude. I'm not saying that he can't be a nice player, kind of compliment a team, but is it a mover or a shaker? Probably not.
You know what's funny about all this? Who the hell knows?
Mm-hmm.
I would have bet a really significant amount of money that
Allen Robinson was going to be a baller.
And he was terrible.
Awful.
I mean,
awful.
It was just one of those, wait, How was this guy ever good? It just, and I'm not even saying it was his fault.
Sure.
Nothing about that worked, so nobody knows jack squat.
All right, so Chuck Norris turns 83 years old today.
No kidding.
Yeah, 83. That's Walker, amazing. Texas Ranger is 83 years old. Do you remember at all when there was a time, it was probably in the late 90s, early 2000s, where everything was a Chuck Norris joke?
Yes. Chuck Norris doesn't do push-ups. He pushes the world down like that, right? Yeah. Goes?
When the boogeyman goes to sleep every night, he checks his closet for Chuck Norris.
Yes. Yes. Those were really funny. Can we bring those back?
They're so amazing. Yeah. I love them so much. Chuck Norris doesn't worry about high gas prices. His vehicles run on fear.
I hadn't heard that one. That's great.
It was a great time in my childhood, even though not even childhood. I used to play kickball, and we named our team Chuck Norris Delta Force, and we would just spout off a bunch of Chuck Norris jokes to get us hyped up before the game.
So, okay, I don't know the answer to this. Is Chuck Norris just an actor? Is he a martial artist too?
Yeah.
So he's a real badass, not a movie badass.
No, he's a real badass.
Yeah, I think he's got some.
I just thought he was like an actor who, like, I don't know. Like, Bruce Willis was a great action star, but I don't know if he could actually kick people's ass. But it always made it sound like Chuck Norris could.
Be careful.
I mean, you could be right, Taylor.
He could be coming out.
He says he's looking for me.
He's a black belt in Tangsu Do, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and Judo.
Okay.
So do you remember that time of period, Slee, at all?
The only thing I remember, we would do like random things like the car's not working. Chuck Norris can fix it. Chuck Norris can fix whatever it is. You just give him an avocado and an Allen wrench and he'll find a way to do it. You know, just like stupid stuff like that, but that's about it.
Yeah, ghosts tell Chuck Norris stories at the campfire, by the way, just so you're...
Those are really funny. I don't know if I'm just an idiot. I think it's funny, but those are really funny.
Oh, they're amazing. They're amazing. Well, it's National Mario Day today also. Was that a thing for you guys? Were you Mario Ruiz? Yes, Mario Ruiz.
Yes.
He's always a thing.
He has a day.
The whole day.
Yeah. Now, Alan Sliwa.
There is Mario Ruiz.
No, Matt, like Super Mario. Mario, were you a Nintendo guy? I know you like SNES.
Growing up as a kid, that's one of the... Mario Brothers was just completely addicted to and feel like I knew everything in that freaking game.
Like the original one, right?
The original one. Mario Kart... I got a buddy of mine who's got two kids, and it's kind of the funniest thing. Him and I, in high school and in college, would get whatever. You go somewhere, you go out to a party, you have a good time, all that stuff. You come back, we're playing Mario Kart.
Sure.
And he would tell me, like, there's a time, just like within the last couple of months, he's like, hey, can't talk right now, hustling my boys in Mario Kart. Like, Mario Kart has lived on, and I think a lot of not just my age, but I think kids even today love Mario Brothers.
Mario Kart was a great game. Like, it was,
and it's still a great game.
I'm not a huge video game guy. I did not play a ton as a kid. I played Mario Kart, right? I played Super Mario Brothers. I'll even go back to like the original Mario. Anybody?
Yeah, yeah. Original
100%.
No. Before Super Mario Brothers was a game, Mario was in a game.
Was he?
Donkey Kong.
Oh,
he
that's
was the
right.
guy that was climbing the yeah, ladders right. to yeah. go fight yeah. Donkey Kong. That was one of my favorite games. Like, actual arcade, put quarters in the machine, Donkey Kong Mario.
What did you play then?
Yeah.
What did you play then? Were you a Pong guy? Were you an Atari guy?
The original Atari console came out when I was like 10 years old. That was a huge deal. And all of the games were...
Atari at the time, OG too.
Super awesome because you could play video games in your house, and then you look back on them, and they're the most. There was a baseball game, John. You may remember this. Did you have the original Atari system as a kid?
No, I didn't have it. But when I got to the fraternity, we had like five guys had one, and we had
the original, like the super blocky graphics and all that stuff. Do you remember the baseball game by any chance at all?
I think it was like very station to station, right?
There was a batter, and a pitcher, a third baseman, and a first baseman.
And it would just go blip, 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 blip. Yeah.
You would throw the ball, the batter would hit the ball, and all three players would chase it. Like, there wasn't like the control.
Absolutely.
All three guys would run after the ball.
Like T-ball in any community across America.
But they would stay in formation. It wasn't like the beehive in real T-ball. Yeah. Like, they would stay in the perfect horizontal formation the entire way. Were you a video game guy as a kid?
No.
Neither was I.
Yeah, there were guys in the house that, like, so you know, you can major in that now.
Playing video games or designing them?
No. You can get like these guys that play on the Lakers gaming team.
Yep, that's a real thing.
A few of these guys went to college on scholarship to play video games.
I knew that they could make a living playing them. I didn't know
Ramona,
go to college.
As Daniel gets older, do not discourage him from playing video games. It may pay for his entire education.
I don't know if I'm going to go with that.
Were you a video game person?
No, I have no patience.
Yeah.
I just like...
Not even when we were kids and they were a lot easier?
No, I'm really bad. I'm like... I'm like the girl at the mini golf place that like throws her golf clubs and stuff. I'm like that girl. So with like
Happy
video
Gilmore
games,
at the
I just remember
Sherman
playing
Oaks miniature
like
golf
Metroid.
Course. Go to your home.
Yeah, I'm like that girl. Like I'm like playing Metroid. You know, and you're supposed to jump. I jumped, and I like throw the controller at the computer. I was much better with sports.
Did you ever throw the remote control, Sully?
Of course.
I think everybody.
Yeah, we had to.
Yelling, screaming, upset, you know, crying. Like,
especially
it just throwing
wasn't
the, good for me.
I want throwing the controller back in the day when it's actually, yeah. there's a
connected
cord.
To the cord.
Yeah, there's
yeah.
a cord there, and I
not exactly
the
best
way
to whip it through the living room. Yeah, that's how you do. There's a Super Mario Brothers movie that is either out or coming out.
Mm.
I don't think I need to see that.
Yeah, I think I
can skip that one. Yeah. That doesn't feel like we got to do it. Still a little super crosstalk.
So Chuck Norris doesn't breathe. He holds the air hostage.
So I did not get a chance to see the resolution of the car chase yesterday. What happened?
I don't know. It was not. Get a load of this. When you guys left, the guy had gotten stuck, right?
He was like by the wash.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he couldn't. He had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
When we left, when Kamenetsky and I left at 4:15, it was still a hostage
no way.
Situation.
He was still sitting in the front
still
seat
in the
car,
and they were scared to make a run up. Somebody will know. Somebody tweet us and tell us who how that was resolved. But the guy wouldn't get out. And for 3 hours, he had like 20 guns pointed at him, and he said, I'm not leaving.
We were talking about yesterday when we were walking out, Andy's like, I'm like, this is going to end. He's going to realize that the jig is up.
As of 4:15, it had not ended. And Sedano,
unbelievable.
You can tell Sedano's not from here, not because he immediately goes, screw this car chase. I'm putting on like the Orlando Magic game. You know, he had no interest in it at all.
I didn't know the Magic game. I didn't know the Magic game was on.
That is a good L.A. native tell, like how invested are you?
You're completely unimpressed with a car chase. You're not from here.
Ramona, you're a native. You're a local. Are you team car chase?
No.
No.
I'm not with you guys. I know you guys are into this. John would do a whole channel on it.
Yeah, I am going to do a whole channel. I just need to win the lottery first.
You know a lot of heavy hitters. You should be able to get an investment group together.
Yes, I'm trying.
I don't know. I just get mad. Like, I'm like, this is dangerous. Like, everybody's getting out of your way. You're causing problems. Like, what if you hurt somebody? Like, I don't want to support this. In any way.
All right, here.
Yeah, but if it's on, I mean, Bill, you got to see how it ends.
I can't find. I'm looking, John. I can't find the result here.
Bill Nuss, who created the great TV show Pacific Blue, if you guys ever used to watch.
Oh, yeah, the Bike Cops.
The Bike Cops. Yeah, that was Bill's show. Just texted me, SWAT smoked him out around 6 p.m.
So he sat there till the end of Sedano and Cap, basically.
Right. Yeah, he was in it to win it. But what
was
you don't
there
realize
a chance?
Is you can't win it. No one's ever outrun a radio.
Was
you know?
There any chance he was tuning into 710
and heard us doing the play-by-play?
Really liked what was going on. Then sat around, wanted to hear your guys' take on the Lakers and everything else. Maybe he sat around and
so it makes me laugh. So when the OJ chase was going on, one of the all news stations, like KNX or what was
KFWB.
The other one? Yeah, those two, leaned on Jim Hill because Jim knew OJ, and they were looking to cover the thing, and so they asked Jim, "Will you call John McKay, who was still alive at the time,
the old SC head coach,
OJ's coach, and ask him to come on with you and beg OJ to pull over?" And Jim goes, "Really? You think because John McKay
is on the radio?"
Wow.
And they go, "Yeah, do it. You know, the hardest thing about any job, doing what your boss wants." So they literally brought John McKay in. OJ, this is Coach. Pull over. It was the most uncomfortable thing I'd ever heard. As if, okay, so put those dots together. They're A, listening to that particular station in the car, like they weren't being chased by every LAPD officer.
HB and sheriff.
And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah. Well, if the coach tells me, the guy who coached me in 1967.
John, traffic every 6 minutes on KNX. Maybe they were trying to get a read on where they needed to go
next.
Needless
to say, OJ kept going and made it to Rockingham.
You know, look, he's trying to get a lay of the land along the way. I didn't know. I feel like I'm pretty well versed in that whole situation.
Right.
I've told you all the random connections I have with this story, right? My dad was on that LA to Chicago flight with OJ. Like the, like a.
What?
Yeah.
The one he took, the late night flight?
Yes.
Why was your dad on it?
So I graduated from college the day before the murder.
From UCSB?
From UCSB.
Okay. My parents. So June 16th, you graduated. This
my
was
parents
on the
17th. Were living in Chicago at the time. When I was in at UCSB. Okay.
And so your dad came out for your graduation?
Came out for graduation, hopped the red eye that night to go back to Chicago to go back to work, was on that plane.
Did he see OJ on the plane?
He spoke with OJ on the plane.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a great party conversation starter there.
And OJ lives about a stone's throw from where my grandmother lived for 60 years.
No kidding.
Yeah. So
now.
She did until she died,
No, but where OJ's living there now?
No, the Rockingham place.
Oh, okay, in Brentwood.
In Brentwood.
Yeah. You know, you can't drive it anymore.
Well, the house is gone.
Right. And you can't even, you used to be able to be drive down, I guess it would be San Vicente, and turn right onto Rockingham. And it got so many looky-loos that they basically rerouted the street.
Wow.
I remember.
And then when OJ's house got sold, they leveled it and put a new house up so there would be no reason to go see it.
I remember I spoke with my dad on the phone like a day or two after. No, it's the very next day. I forget why I called him and I said, and I again, at the time, it's the day after. So we know nothing about this other than O.J. Simpson's ex-wife has been murdered. That's all we know.
Right.
And I made a joke to my dad. Just like, oh, did you hear that O.J. killed his wife? I'm making a bad joke at the time. Just goofing around. And my dad goes, what? And I said, oh, I'm just kidding. But somebody murdered O.J. Simpson's ex-wife. He goes, really? So he goes, I talked to OJ last night. I was on the plane. He was on the flight with me. He's like, really? And I'm like, wow, that's a weird coincidence. And take it from there.
Wow. So I didn't know this was going to come up today, but so weird kind of twist to this story. I need to look up the exact facts, but another sports angle to the OJ thing. So the PR director of the Niners for years,
Kirk Reynolds,
was a guy named Rodney Knox.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, very well liked. Very still works in the NFL in some capacity. I don't think he works for the Niners anymore. Sends his brother a bunch of Niners swag because he works there. His brother ends up on the jury.
No kidding.
They go to OJ's house for the visit. They took all the pictures of the white people off the wall and put like all these like African American historical photos. This gets pretty well covered in the People versus OJ thing. So he got called in front of the judge because OJ played 1 year for the Niners.
No kidding.
Said, why were you wearing Niners gear? Are you a fan of OJ, the football player? I don't know if they let him stay on the jury or not, but that's how like small world weird story that was.
Do you guys think that we could ever have a story that captivates us like that one did? Like, think of the most.
It was a perfect intersection of sports, race, fame, culture, fame,
city,
crime.
All of it.
Yeah.
Everything checked the box of it. Captivated.
Yeah,
I agree.
But the difference was like now we have so much. There's so many different ways with Twitter and social and everything else.
You're
like,
saying you're so inundated with just info.
You had to listen to the radio during the day. You had to watch Dateline and Nightline at night. Like you were so hungry for the
then
information.
Well, you know
we got
March Madness coming up. So back when Bergman would allow us to have guests. Oh, actually, this was even before Bergman. This was like 20 years ago. Billy Packer used to come on with Mason. Billy Packer just passed away like a month ago. Billy Packer used to come on with us once a week during March Madness, and we'd just kick it with him. He liked us, and he was good to us, and so we'd bring him on, and he had a rule. That 1 year, we got to do it during a break in the OJ trial, because that's all I do during the day is watch the OJ trial all day, all night.
Wow.
And we did. We accommodated his schedule to watch the OJ trial.
Ramona, what's the set of circumstances that could have something captivate us?
Well, has anyone that famous ever been accused of murder?
Wow.
More famous than OJ?
I don't think he's more famous. Oscar Pistorius. I'm trying to
say.
No.
He's not more famous than OJ.
No,
I mean, look,
not.
I've covered a few of these. I get this tends to be the stick that I draw all the time, right? Tiger Woods car accident was pretty big, right? But the anything involving someone of that
stature
is going to be big. The difference is nowadays when something is big, it's big for like 2 days.
That's what it means.
3 days. Right.
So I asked, like, was it a year?
The life cycle of a scandal or the of a media moment is much shorter now. The metabolism is much
faster.
So
this ranks right up there with Mason saying he was going to go dark for a week, and then he didn't even go dark for a day. He texted Sedano on Monday, Ramona on Tuesday, Bergman yesterday. Zero dark Mason lasted not even one day. So he has a completely different opinion of himself than what reality is. Like, anyone who knows him knows he wasn't going dark.
Okay.
Here's another one. So I said, Mace, well, you and I are out to dinner. OJ is in the restaurant, and he walks up to us. He goes, Mason in Ireland. I've been listening to you guys for years. OJ Simpson, how you doing? And he sticks out his hand. Would you shake it? And I said, I absolutely would, to get out of the awkwardness.
Yeah.
I'd say, hey, good to see you. Thanks. Thanks for listening. Yeah. And I'd go, Mason goes, would refuse to shake his hand. He absolutely would not. He would be so uncomfortable with the confrontation, he would have no other way to get out of it. And yeah, when he comes back, I'm like, he'll say, no, I would. Yeah, it's exactly like Zero Dark Mason. He would never do it. Yeah.
Dave Chappelle has a really good stand-up where it's, I've met OJ 3 times, and then he'll start doing his stand-ups, he's doing his whole thing. The first time I met OJ Simpson, he goes into a story, the whole thing. One of them's at a restaurant, and then he goes another 20 minutes talking. The second time I met OJ Simpson.
Yeah.
But he's kind of in that predicament where he, the way you just described it, OJ.
What would you do? If you were in a restaurant, he walked up to you and he says, hey, are you Alan Sliwa? I listen to you every day. OJ Simpson, man. And he sticks out his hand. What would you do?
I would do exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
I don't think I can, you know, not say anything or leave his hand there and turn the other way. I think to just get out of the situation, I would shake his hand.
I will say this.
Move on.
One of my best friends in TV is a guy named Tom Murray, who was on TV in LA for 20 years at KCAL. He was like one of my mentors when I got to KCAL. And Tom is old school New York, and he does not tolerate fools in any, which is shocking that we're friends because I'm an idiot, but him and I are really close. And he told me the story that he lived in that neighborhood.
In Brentwood.
So OJ gets off, and Tom's jogging like 2 days later. And OJ's walking out to his mailbox. And he comes out, and Murray is like, Murray would not shake hands with OJ. He's like, he's like old school.
Yeah, but that's a very specific type of guy that would not.
Okay, so, but get a load of this. So Murray's jogging down Rockingham, and OJ comes out and goes, hey, Tom, and waves to him. And Murray, without making eye contact, just keeps running, and he goes, guilty, guilty, whoa, guilty,
wow,
guilty. And he just keeps running.
Wow.
Started sprinting.
It would be so stunning.
When he told me that story, I go, I hope you ran fast.
That if he came up to you and said, hey, I'm a huge NBA fan. I watch you every night on ESPN.
I'd shake his hand.
I think so, too.
I would just get out of it.
Oh, my God, OJ Simpson.
I'm also, curious.
Would you engage him in a conversation?
Yeah, I think I would. I'm that type.
What's the opening line? What's up?
Yeah, how you been?
Yeah.
What are you up to?
I have found
if he said, have you not heard?
The best way to handle awkward situations like that is to just kill the other person with kindness, and they can't do anything. Mm. Like, there was a reporter when I worked in Louisiana who was notorious for hating the competition, wouldn't give anybody that he was competing against the time of day. This guy's name was John Reed. And so I'm there for a couple of weeks, and they're kind of showing me around town. I'm in Monroe, Louisiana. I couldn't get a sportscaster job, so I was a news reporter for 6 months. And so my buddy, JT Thompson, who's a reporter at the station, takes me out, and he goes, this guy, John Reed's a piece of work. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, we'll be on the same stories. It's a very small town. He was at the CBS. I was at the NBC. He goes, we'll not give anybody the time of day. I go, really?
Like, they think you don't exist.
Yeah. I go, well, watch this. So I walk up to him and I go, hey, John. And I put my arm on his shoulder.
There you go.
And I stick my hand out. I go, I just want to introduce myself. I'm John Ireland. I'm new in town. I'm the new reporter over at Channel 10.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of yours. I've been watching your stuff. It's a pleasure to meet you. He looks at me. He doesn't want to say anything. I go, shake my hand, man.
You said it that.
Because my buddy's watching. He goes, nice to meet you. He turns around and walks away. He was so uncomfortable. It was awful.
What's the second biggest
thing? Kill him
thing
with kindness. That,
because
good.
I think for all of us, the OJ, like the media story, right? Like by far the biggest thing that's been a part of any. What's the second biggest that touched the sports world? not like 9/11 and things like that. Just the thing that was at least tangentially connected to our universe.
I mean, for me, it was the Sterling one, obviously.
Yeah.
That was good. I mean, but that was still that was sports. That wasn't like a crime.
Well, I think here.
You can connect dots to get to a crime. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He committed a lot of crimes over his 30 years of being a jerk.
I think that's a good answer because I'm not talking about necessarily you were charged with this crime.
Like, you're talking about a crime or a story?
Let the story.
Well,
And became a news story that was connected to the sports world.
Kobe's helicopter crash.
Yeah. That's the one I was like, that's the one where everywhere
that
you
was
look
the lead story on page A1 of every paper in the
100%.
Country. Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I knew that that would affect a lot of people, but it brought the city to its knees. It was unbelievable.
Still to this day. Powell getting his jersey there.
Right.
Kobe. It's still to this day, and it will always be like that.
Coming in here that night. And going on the air with Mason and LZ and I did a show together for a few hours. And by the time we got here, there were a lot of people out here at Microsoft.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
And 3 hours later when we had left, you couldn't walk through it. The people that had come here in a relatively short period of time was exponential.
What was the story? It wasn't as big as Kobe. What was the story the night you and I were at a company dinner, and
Vince
we
Scully
said,
died.
"Let's go in the air right now."
Vince Scully,
Vince Scully.
Yeah, that's in the
conversation. The only other one,
but that wasn't super. I mean, Vince Scully was in his 90s, and so
I mean, Tiger Woods' car crash was pretty big a couple years ago because people didn't know how bad it was. Once you found out he was alive,
but at that point, for sure, it's a big deal. But Tiger being involved in stuff at that point, kind of routine.
I remember when Lamar Odom overdosed at the brothel out in Vegas. That was a big story for like a couple days, though.
Kobe's the only thing that's even in the OJ universe is that.
The only other thing, but this is a world thing, right? When the COVID stuff first initially started, and there was a game going on. It was the NBA game. Remember the Thunder and maybe Dallas or something like that.
No, it was Phoenix because Chris Paul was walking out on the court saying, what's wrong with Rudy?
So that was like the moment where, okay, well, there's a good chance sports probably isn't going to go. That was kind of the start of it all. That was interesting. I was on with Mace. I think you had just left. It was we were doing a super crosstalk or a crosstalk. Right. You had just left.
Yeah. What if I told you? I actually did a 30 for 30 on that one called March 11th.
Did you really?
Which was the
The night sports stopped.
Yeah. It hasn't aired yet, has it?
No, it did. It just nobody, you know.
Nobody saw it?
Yeah.
Oh, I just. I would love to see it.
Is
it on the app?
No, it was a podcast. I'll send it to you.
I would love to listen to
it. It's interesting now looking back on it. Like, we got Anthony Fauci for it. You know? Because don't you feel like there was this, like, 2 year period of time that we always would talk about what it was going to be like later on. How would we talk about this 2 years? We're like, stuff happened, but it's like you can't really put yourself back in it.
Yeah,
that format of what you're talking about, John, it reminds me too of the other 30 for 30, the June 14th, 1994.
Yeah,
right. Where and by the way, there's no narration. Yeah. It's just news clips, and it's the World Cup, the Stanley Cup, the NBA Finals, OJ.
And you remember what the other one was?
Arnold Palmer.
Final U.S. Open.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Saying goodbye.
All within like a 36-hour window, all of those things happened. Just absolutely bizarre. Super Crosstalks, powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger's all about. Mason and Ireland coming up next. We'll see you on Monday.